Jesus said, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family, divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you. Please sit down. Do you ever feel like your faith is challenged by parts of the Bible? I think that reading, as it came to an end, and we was like, this, you know, praise be to Christ. I got the sense that you were kind of a bit challenged by saying the suffix, but praise Christ, after hearing those words. And to be honest, I was challenged writing this sermon this morning. I thought, how do I write a fire and brimstone sermon for the Good Shepherd? I don't think it works. Not in our cultural context, not in the way we do things here. And you'll be pleased to know that it isn't that. But what I'd like you to do is turn to someone near you. Some of you would have been in church quite a lot over your lifetimes, and you would have heard sermons on this passage at least every 3 years. And I'd like you to, if you can recall what that's, some of those sermons, what have people said before about this? Just maybe share with each other. If you can't remember, don't worry, but just turn to each other and share. I just want to get us into that frame of thinking. Okay, come back to me. Maybe you could recall one, maybe you can't. Don't worry. We have an impromptu children's church at the back, which I'm going to show much love to those who do children's church, because they're the ones who've created an impromptu children's church. Young people, children, if you could, if you're drawing, could you draw me some examples of fire as a good thing? Would you be up for that? So fire as a good thing, and I'll let you come up with whatever you want. And then maybe a bit later in my sermon, I'll come up and grab some. Okay, so fire, they're going to think about fire as a good thing, and I'm going to take us through my reasoning once I got this passage. David just came up to me and said, I don't think this passage ever been preached in this church. And I thought, oh, that's because people have avoided it every time it's come up. And there's good reason. It possibly makes you feel uncomfortable. Like, yeah, all right, let's lean into that and think about why. This sermon's hope might have some answers to it, but realistically what I'm going to do is take you through my thought process of when I was confronted with this and thinking how I would give this to others, what I would do with it, considering what I think and feel and believe. So there may not be any answers, but you might have to go away and do that work for yourself. But I'm going to try and take you on a little journey. Passages like this in the Bible make me question things, and give me more questions than I have answers. Who do I believe God to be? Who is Jesus? Does this passage meet my way of seeing God, or God's reason for being human, a human called Jesus? What does my questioning mean about my faith? Am I just not a good enough Christian? Do I just not know enough about the Bible? Should I go back to university and do all this again? All those things come up. It kind of makes you, what we'd say in the youth world, you can become de-skilled when you see passages like this. You go, oh, I don't have the skills to deal with this. I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I'm not good enough anyway. Yeah? Those are the sort of things that come up for me. I don't know if it comes up for you. I see some nodding. I'm not calling people out. I'm just saying, I see that nodding and I accept it. And I thought, this is how I feel when I read passages like this. Especially when they're attributed to the voice of Jesus, who I'm supposed to be lovely and caring and, you know, meek and mild and all those things that we kind of construct in our minds. Joking aside, I did have to ask myself some questions about what I understand the Bible to be. And I remembered why I got you guys to think about how you've heard this before. I remember the sermons I've heard about this. And people know that I come from a conservative evangelical background, a charismatic one, where this passage would not have been skirted over. This would have been a passage people were very excited to preach about, because it kind of sees the lens of this world coming to an end and a new world coming. And it kind of meets the worldview that all the things of this world are bad and needs to come to an end in a big fiery kind of way, and then the new world is ushered in. I don't really believe that anymore. I don't believe the design of our world is that it has to be terrible and then change. I'd prefer for it not to be terrible at all, to be brutally honest. So I had some work to do. One, am I reading in my own conscious kind of thoughts into the Bible? Am I putting stuff in there that shouldn't be? Am I reacting out of my own needs? But my approach to the Bible is this. I'm what's called a progressive Christian, which means something. It means that I have progressive views about lots of things, and I'm not going to go into every single one of them. As you get to know me, you'll kind of get to know my views on the world and what it means. But I also believe in liberation. I believe the Bible is a liberating force. I believe God's power is about liberating us from the constrictions of this world, the things that are terrible, the things that do hurt and cause pain, the relationships that are broken between us and between God. I believe the Bible is there to help us liberate from that. So when I read the Bible, I have those lenses on. Then I'm also politically liberal. I'm not a liberal Christian because that says something about what I believe the Bible to be. It says that I don't believe the Bible to be the word of God sometimes. It says some other things. It says the Bible is a good spiritual book, but it doesn't say things. It has some meaning to it that when you say liberal Christian. And it has loads of labels, which may not be what a liberal Christian actually believes, but those labels are there. So I say I'm a progressive Christian and I'm politically liberal. I have to separate the two so that people can understand where I'm coming from. Otherwise, we get all these things that aren't me kind of put on, those labels put on me. So when I see this passage, those lenses are there. They are who I am, and that is how I approach the Bible. So when I see a passage like this, I think, well, Jesus can't be meaning that he wants us all to burn. That can't be the truth, because it's not the lens by which I have inhabited my faith. How does this work with the intimacy that I experience with God? Not as headmaster or bad boss, but as father, mother, friend, counselor, good shepherd, pilgrim along the journey with us, those images of who God is. And then I went looking. I looked at different translations of the Bible to see where the translators have made decisions about what words they use. Does that give me any understanding of what this passage might mean? I even went to, some people will be upset with this, I even went to the Message translation, which actually was really helpful in this situation because it gave me a backdrop by which I could read this passage. Then I read two books. When I say read, I didn't read the whole two books. I skimmed them, watched some videos on TikTok and YouTube, but also kind of looked at kind of different stuff around them. But I did buy the books on Kindle and and look at the pages. One was a book by Rob Bell, which is it's called What is the Bible? And it was just a really good reminder to me of what I think the Bible is for and used for. It's Rob Bell's understanding of what the Bible is. And in that, he said something that really helped him was to look at Tom Wright's series of books called For Everyone. And one of them, because we're reading Luke, is Luke for Everyone. It's a study Bible, and it asks loads of questions. It doesn't give any answers. So I was reading the bit of Luke for Everyone by Tom Wright, and it was just loads of questions and no answers. And I thought, oh, that's an interesting way of approaching Scripture, not to accept that there may be an answer that I'm given, but that I have to wrestle and fight and draw out meaning in prayer and in study. And what I came to is this. Jesus' understanding of fire would have been very different to ours. And this is where I might see, children, have you got any pictures of fire for me? Did anyone come up with one? Oh, is it still going? Shall I give you a bit more time? Shall I talk a little bit more? All right, the kids have said I have to talk more, so you guys are going to have to take it. Jesus' understanding of what fire is doesn't have our Western 20th century, 19th century even, connotations. We have spent hundreds of years with some imagery which comes from our cultural interpretation, which one of the big things is an image of Dante's Inferno, hellfire, which isn't necessarily, I can't see it in the Bible when I read it, but it's in our cultural identity. So when we hear fire and the Bible together, we get negative. We get trouble and pain. Jesus' understanding of fire from the Old Testament is the relationship with God leading the Israelites through the wilderness using a pillar of fire. Would that be scary? Or would that be a light in the darkness? With God speaking to Moses through a burning bush, I think that would be scary personally. But there is something of intimacy in that fire, of relationship, of speaking to someone directly, not an ethereal God that doesn't really have anything to do with us. There is the imagery that Jesus uses in some of his parables, the purification, the gardener burning off diseased vines that mean the rest of the plant grows from the fertile ashes. There is the forge of purification where metal is purified so rocks come out of it and it becomes what it was always meant to be. So maybe Jesus' imagery that our cultural lens jumps to negative is different and we should try and look at it using his cultural lens. And I found it interesting that when he talks about the vision, he's talking about the older generation and the younger generation. There's no, the brother and the sister will argue, or the, it's the father and the son, the mother and the daughter, the daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law. Does that say something about when change comes, where are the divisions that fall in our society? It normally falls around down the lines of those who have lived with the change longer in their percentage of their life, so the younger people see it as okay, and those who have, it's been a lesser proportion of their life, see it as somehow challenging. Or if you're older and you don't find a problem with any change, unlike me, who finds change really hard, you might just be not one of these people who are going to be arguing. But ultimately, I believe this. One is, maybe if there are any pictures, we'll have them in a bit later. Are there? There's some? Oh, bring them up. We'll see what good fire could come. Bring them down. You want to bring them down? Bring them to show me. Thank you, Miriam. Run! Otherwise, my sermon's gone far too long. All right, what is it? Is a fire?
Cooking food.
So this is a good fire, because fire, we use it to cook food.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a good image. Thank you very much. Have we got some more, one that'll come in? All right, I'll go up there, because standing in front of you lot is quite hard, actually, I have to admit. Do you just want to tell me what it is?
Campfire.
Yeah. Ah, so a campfire for cooking, but also fire from the sun and stars, because they're made of fire and they give us life. And the marshmallow s'mores. Is there any others? No. But that's great. So when we've got a different view of what fire can be, maybe the passage says something else to us. So let me just end with this. Ultimately, what I believe is this. Whenever you come into the presence of God, whether that be reading the Bible, singing together in church, being together, reading together, doing something for God, with God, however that is for you, and I've told you many times about different things I do that may be not what you'd like to do, which make me feel like I'm close to God, it should change us. All right? It should change who we are fundamentally. So when I read the Bible, I believe that I am approaching God and thinking about ways in which I should be changed. And some of those questions are, how should I live? What do I do with this? How do I act? How do I treat people? How do I conduct myself? I believe the only response to meeting God is change. And I think Jesus was talking about the fact that he comes to bring change. It's not a coincidence that he uses baptism straight after saying, I bring fire. Baptism is change. It's change. Our baptisms are change. And you've all got to think about what your own response to change from God in us is. And hopefully today you walk away from here filled not with the dread of hearing that passage and thinking, oh no, but oh yes, I'm to change. Those bits of me that are hidden are to change, are to make a difference in this world, are to liberate, are to make, to seek out those who are lonely, are to help those who are grieving. We are to change and be change makers.